If you would turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to cover a number of different passages today. But one of the things I want us to focus on, and a lot of people don't understand the concept, is how important is your music in church? How important is it? And a lot of people don't understand it. They don't know why you can't have certain kinds of music. And I want to tell you the truth. You can have certain kinds of music. You can have any kind of music you want in your church. Just the fact that God's not going to honor some of it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? There's certain things that God honors. And in all of it, the prescription for godly music is right here in the Word of God. The Bible has every answer for everything we need. But some people say, well, I like my music. Well, I got news for you. Unless you wrote the song without God's help, it's not your music. It's either God's music, like it or not, it's either God's music or the devil's music. It's either leading you closer to Christ or it's leading you farther away from Him. And that's what we need to understand. There are certain guidelines in the Word of God that we need to follow. And there are certain things that, and we're going to see some of them. We're going to go to the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I want to look at this passage. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read verses 18 through 21 in Ephesians chapter 5. And look at what it says in verse 18 and following. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your book. We thank you for your music. We thank you for your day. Lord, it's not just Sunday. Lord, you give us every day. And Lord, you give us breath. You let our heart beat. Lord, everything we have, everything we do is all because of you. Lord, we ask you to teach us from this lesson today. Lord, this is not the preacher. Please don't let anybody think this is the preacher. Lord, let this Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, be the one to preach today and keep the preacher out of the way and in your will. Let us hear from your blessed Comforter, your Holy Spirit, the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things I had a friend of mine, I've got it written in my margin there in my Bible, and a friend of mine preached on the other sin. And it said, in verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine," but it also says, "But be filled with the Spirit." I want you to understand, not only is it good not to be drunk, but we're commanded to be Spirit-filled. That's what God wants us to do. You cannot live the life God wants you to live. You cannot make the decision God has for you. The devil's going to trip you up and detour you and distract you if you're not filled with the Spirit. And the most important thing is for us to understand the value, the importance of being filled with the Spirit. That is the context with which we read the next verse. Look, verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We've been doing that today. Good song service. Top notch. I want to tell you, I've enjoyed every song, the hymns, the choir, the Markowski family. They've blessed our soul. But you know what they're doing? And that's what music is supposed to do. It says speaking to yourselves. We're speaking to each other, bragging on Jesus. That's what it's all about. Encouraging us to talk about Jesus. Encouraging us to go to Him when we have a problem, when we've got a burden. And that's what music is for. A lot of people don't understand that you and I, we get discouraged. Anybody not get discouraged? We all do. Not just you guys, a preacher too. But the thing is, God's music encourages us. And there are certain guidelines. It says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms. And hymns. And spiritual songs. Well, even the psalms and the hymns are going to be spiritual songs if you're filled with the Spirit, right? But this is where it says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's got to come from your heart. When one of the things I share with people when I'm sharing the plan of salvation is I make real sure they understand. The words that you say, there's nothing special if they don't come from the heart. Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The most important thing for any of us is when we talk to God, don't be double-minded. You speak straight from your heart. Everything in your heart He knows anyway. You're not going to hide it. So be honest with Him and straight with Him. And whatever what's bothering you, tell Him. By the way, He knows it, but He just wants you to hear it. He wants to hear about it. Why? When you pray over a problem and you ask God to help you, one of the things you're doing is giving Him permission to work in your circumstance. If you don't pray about a problem, then He's going to back off. And so what we have to do is to make sure we come to Him and share that and give Him the burden. And that's what this is talking about. It says singing and making melody in your heart. It doesn't stop there though, does it? To the Lord. There's a special communication God created in us between Him and our heart. That's where the Holy Spirit speaks. That's where the Word of God speaks. That's where the seed is planted. That's how it has to happen. If anybody gets saved, they can't get saved because of their head. You can think about it all you want. You can believe it all you want in your head. But if it doesn't come from the heart, God's not working and you did not get saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's some things about music, God's music, that we need to learn. I want to teach you some things that I've learned over the years. If you would go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you know a little bit about David and Saul and the relationship, this is actually the first time that David and Saul meet. They meet again in chapter 17, but the first time they meet is here in chapter 16. Saul has made a decision to do his own thing. Let me explain to you, that's always going to be a bad idea. Don't make a decision based on what you think. Brother Markowski in Sunday school was teaching us on the importance of prayer and asking the Lord's permission and doing things His way. And when you do it His way, you give Him, like I said, you give Him permission to work. But He wants you in His will, doesn't He?
Amen.
One of the things that amazes me is people make it hard. They try to make it hard to find the will of God. You're playing hide and seek, and God likes to hide the will of God from you. God's not hiding it. But remember, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to diligently seek. And when you diligently seek, guess what? He sees that you're serious. And he blesses. But here in this particular passage, Saul has made his own decision. He's gone his own way. And the Spirit of the Lord has departed from him. And a spirit, an evil spirit from the Lord plagues him. Now look at what it says in verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And Saul was wanting somebody. Well, we'll read 17 for context. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Didn't say sing, did it? Didn't say anything about singing. And look at verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty man, a mighty valor man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. And look at that last phrase. And the Lord is with him. You wonder why David was so special. If you realize, earlier in that chapter, David was anointed by Samuel. Because God knew that David was going to be the next king. But David did something special. He could play well. Now, I'm not going to get into it a whole lot, but I love to hear the instruments playing well. They don't have to be loud to be good, okay? If they're shaking the walls, something's wrong, because my God speaks in a still small voice. But it says here, look at verse 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now pay attention. When you do God's music, God's way, one of the things that's going to happen is the evil spirits are going to leave. Ask us how we know. This place was full of them. Okay? Sharon and I came in here the first time, and it was so sinister. You could feel the evil spirits here. But you can't sing songs like "There's Power in the Blood" and "I Stand Redeemed" and "Amazing Grace" and "The Old Rugged Cross" and it not bother the demons that are in here, because they're not going to stay. They don't like it. Godly music will cause evil spirits to depart.
Amen.
The devil's music does just the opposite. Remember, David didn't, it wasn't the words. I've heard this lie all my life, that music is neutral. That's baloney.
That's
a lie from hell.
That's right.
David didn't sing. He played. It was the music that caused the demons to depart. And it's the music that causes demons to depart from the house of God. Or if it's the wrong kind of music, it'll draw them in.
That's right.
You wonder why so many people come in church and they hear about Amazing Grace and the Old Rugged Cross and There's Power in the Blood and Saved by the Blood, and they get uncomfortable? It's because that demon that's been plaguing them makes them feel uncomfortable. We're not going to change the music to fit the crowd.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? I'd rather those demons stay outside, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Not only that, go to 2 Kings chapter 3. I know what the godly music does for me. Now, if you know the background of this chapter, Elisha's there with the son of Ahab and Jezebel, who was a devil worshiper. Jehoshaphat, who was actually a godly man, but gathered together with the wrong crowd, and then with the king of Edom. So there's three kings there. Two of them were devil worshipers, and Jehoshaphat shouldn't have been there to start with. But they call on Elisha and they wanted to find out what they needed to do to hear from the Lord. Look at verse 14. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee." He's saying there's only one saved person in this crowd, and it's because of him that I'm answering your request. Look at what he asked for now. Verse 15. "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played. Did he say he sang? Don't tell me it doesn't matter about the music. It's just the words. "When the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him." I know as a pastor, I know as a preacher, what music does to me and prepare me to preach. And when you're in doldrums, when you're in depressed, when you're struggling, when you're dealing with an issue, you're overwhelmed sometimes. And the music of God will help clear your mind.
Amen.
And in this particular time, because of the two devil worshipers that were there, Elisha said, "I need to get rid of this bad feeling and this bad spirit. I need to hear some good godly music." And when the minstrel played the old rugged cross, he didn't do that, but he probably would have if it had been written. But the truth is, when he played some good godly music, it cleared up the man of God so he could hear the Lord, and he got the message. I preached this a couple years ago about this particular passage. It took the right man, Elisha, the right music — the minstrel played God's music — and the right message, and they got to hear from God. But if you get, and that's why so many of these so-called churches are so shallow in preaching, because they can't hear from the Lord because you got the wrong music.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And it's not about the music that you like, okay? Get over that. It's all about the music he likes if you want to hear from him. He's the one that died on the cross for us. Jesus is the one that paid the price. Jesus paid it all. And we still sing that here. One of the things we need to make sure of is that we do it his way. You want the blessings of God, you've still got to do it his way. You want the curses, do it your way. But the key is, the music is so much more important than people think it is. If you want to draw in the wrong kind of spirits, rock the night away, the best I can tell you. Some of you might not know this, but for 2 years we were in the banquet room at the motel here in Bartow, and right directly across the hall from the banquet room was the bar. Now, it wasn't a big problem because the bar was closed on Sunday morning. But on Sunday night, we had some issues. And some of you know we did. But the key is, you can sure tell the difference between the music in our banquet room and the music in the bar. And it should be able to tell the difference. And if you're caught up in the wrong kind of music, I encourage you. I'll tell you right now, I truly believe this. Years ago, and I'll give you a little bit of a hint at how it happened. I used to listen to country music. I did. And a guy named Hank Williams Jr. sang a song
And the title of the song was, "If Heaven Ain't a Lot Like Dixie, Then I Don't Want to Go." And that was just enough for this old boy to say goodbye to country music. And I want you to understand, I rewrote the words to his song. I did. I said, Heaven ain't a thing like Dixie, and Hank, you don't have to go. Heaven ain't a thing like Dixie, my Jesus told me so. Up there, there's no more crying, and there's no more dying, and there's no more pain or woe. But if you don't like to go to heaven, Hank, you won't like where you go. But that, and I can tell you, the fact that had I not given up and surrendered myself to godly music, that's been 40 years ago. Amen. I wouldn't be preaching today. I can tell you that. I believe that. See, it's God's music that makes the difference. It's God's music that encourages you. It's God's music that helps us understand the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Those songs are based on God's book. They teach us about Him. They draw us closer to Him. The most important thing for a church is to do everything His way. Amen. If we want His blessings, I set before thee a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you will obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and a curse if you will not obey. That was given to in the Bible there in Deuteronomy 3,500 years ago. It's still as valid today as it ever was. The truth is, this world needs to know the value of good godly music. I praise God for Landmark Radio Station, because that's how I found out about the college, which is how I ended up. The Holy Spirit just kept nudging me till I went to the college. Even though I was in my 40s, and I was in college with kids my children's age. I even had a professor that was probably 15 or 20 years younger than me. But guess what? I was glad I went. Don't regret it a minute. And glad they taught me the value of the right kind of music. Amen. See, you're not going to hear from God if you're distracted with the wrong kind of music. The most important thing for any of us is to hear from Him. Right now, I believe people are hearing from Him. Amen. The most important thing for any of us is to do things His way. And the first thing you got to do things His way is to get saved. Because there really is a place called the Lake of Fire. See, if you get distracted, you can't hear the Holy Spirit speaking because of the music or because of something else. You're dabbling in witchcraft, or you're reading Harry Potter, or you're reading Twilight, or you're reading some of these crazy witchcraft books. That's good. The devil likes that. He'll make sure that you don't get saved. He'll use that to keep you from getting saved. The most important thing for any of us is to make sure that our name's in the book of life. Because the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book? If not, that lake of fire is where you're headed. And Jesus did not create the lake of fire for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. But he's not going to step in unless you give him permission. And when you call on him to ask him to forgive you and save you, realizing you're a sinner, realizing he's the Savior and paid the price, he'll save you right then and there. The Bible says, Jesus himself says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." When you put your trust completely in Jesus from your heart, He guarantees you a ticket to heaven that the devil can't steal, none of the demons of hell can steal. The most important thing is your name in God's book. I know this message has been more about music, but music, the wrong kind of music, is a distraction. It's a deterrent from people getting saved. But when we do it God's way, people get saved. People get right. They give up things that don't matter for the things that do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we ask you to do something special in our midst. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, let them make that decision now and help them to get it settled. Lord, we sure do love you. We're looking forward to seeing you move in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.